What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is Article of the Week number 21, and today we're going to be reviewing an article that critiques a carnivore diet. And if you've listened to this podcast in the past, you know me and Tom are both very pro-carnivore diet. I don't think it's necessarily right for everybody on Earth. You know, there's definitely some wiggle room there, but I think it's a great diet for a lot of people. But it is controversial, and in the normal kind of nutritionist world, the carnivore diet is like a big no-no. And this article kind of goes through some of the reasons against it, so I wanted to kind of just have a back and forth with Tom and see if we can counteract some of the points this article talks about. So, Tom, you want to just touch on this article?
Yeah, so the name of the article, or the title of the article, is What is the Carnivore Diet? Health myths, side effects, and pseudoscience. So basically, the author hates the carnivore diet. And when she's talking about a carnivore diet, she's talking about like the zero carb, meat and fat only, just only animal foods, like no honey, no fruit, anything like that. When me and you talk about a carnivore diet, like, I think some fruit is like allowed. I think if you're eating like 80% of your diet as meat, and like animal source foods, I still consider that to be carnivore. I don't know if, like, where other people draw that line, but to me, that's still carnivore. Like, this version that they're talking about, the article, is like a 100% meat diet.
Yeah, I think so. This article of the week kind of goes in line with the most recent podcast we've had, because we did a little bit of a series on the caveman diet, which essentially is another word for the carnivore diet. And yeah, I'm right on board with you there. I think any healthy diet really is going to be 70-80% meat based, and that's simply based on nutrient density, and we'll touch on that in a future podcast as well. But yeah, I think a little bit of fruit here and there is fine, and it doesn't have to be 100% meat. Yeah, I'm on board with that.
Yeah. Okay, so one of the first things that the author talks about is that there is no scientific evidence to support a carnivore diet. And that's simply not true. I mean, if you've been listening to this podcast, we talk about different studies. We have, I don't know, hundreds of studies that we've linked. I don't know. I don't think it's been up to 1,000 yet, but I mean, we're up there. Most of them are showing benefits of meat. Mm-hmm. And one that we've talked about a lot is the Stephenson Bellevue Hospital diet study, where he ate only meat while he was being reviewed by doctors in a hospital. So, I mean, that's about as scientific as you can get. And he had a great outcome. He lost some weight, came out of the study healthier. There's tons of anecdotal evidence at MeatRx. That's a website where people just give all their testimonials about how much better their health has been after they switch over to a carnivore diet. And then there's a little thing that I like to call anthropology, which is basically the history of mankind that just kind of shows how humans thrived and like took over the planet living off of a meat-based diet.
But hold on, that's not peer-reviewed though. Can we trust that?
I mean, we're here, and it's not because of broccoli.
I know, right? Yeah, it's so funny that human evolution, like, nutritionists and just dietitians, they can't even like get their head wrapped around evolution because it's not in like a peer-reviewed paper.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that seems to be the strongest evidence you could possibly imagine.
I know.
We're talking hundreds of thousands of years.
And we won. Like, yeah. Look around. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So another talking point is about lectins. And the author makes kind of like a straw man argument about how people on a carnivore diet think lectins are to blame for everything, that they cause obesity and they cause diabetes and everything like that. I mean, I don't think lectins are good for you by any means. I think they definitely damage your gut lining. But one mistake that this author makes is saying that lectins aren't a concern because if you bake them or cook them, they're completely removed. And that is simply not true. Like, they are damaged for sure, but that doesn't mean that if you're if you have celiac disease, you can eat cookies because the cookies were baked. Like, yep. No, you're still going to react to the gluten in those cookies. Like, don't do that. Bread is still an issue for a lot of people, even though bread's baked. Like, there's still a lot of foods that are cooked that will cause you issues due to the lectins or the glutens or other anti-nutrients in there.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. And I think, yeah, so gluten, people might not know the term lectins because of kind of, I don't know, not complicated, but it's just not very common as far as how people talk about nutrition. But a lot of people have heard about gluten, and gluten is a lectin, and that is a class of anti-nutrients that I don't think anybody should eat. And I know, like Tom said, celiac disease is one where people are very sensitive to gluten, and so if they eat gluten, they basically feel it right away. But there are studies out there showing that basically everyone is affected by gluten in one way or another. It's just to what degrees. And I don't think anybody should be eating gluten. And that is one of the definitely benefits of the carnivore diet, is it allows people's guts to heal. And nowadays, like, COVID's a thing. We're going to talk about COVID in a few weeks for another episode. But our immune system, the bulk of our immune system is in our gut. And today's world just destroys our gut. So if we could just focus on healing the gut, I think that's very important for any quote-unquote healthy diet. Like, gut health should be important. And lectins, cooked, not cooked, should not be in any sort of healthy diet, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree. And another thing, like, we've talked about this, I think it was the keto for autoimmune disease, is that I think, like, the reason that autoimmune disease is as high as it is today is because of all the gluten, the lectins, and the glyphosate that we spray on all our crops. I think it's just kind of like a combo of all those anti-nutrients and the pesticides that are just damaging our guts, and that's why autoimmune disease is so prevalent today.
Oh, yeah. It's so prevalent today. Yeah, go back and listen to that episode, because the rates of autoimmune disease are through the roof. Like, it's crazy. And not saying that lectins cause everything, like this article says, you know, but they are part of the problem.
Yeah, they're definitely not part of the solution.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So another thing that this article points out is that this diet will lead to micronutrient deficiencies. And I don't agree that it will lead, but I think it is possible that you could develop some sort of micronutrient deficiency on a meat-based diet. But I think that's true of any diet if you don't kind of formulate it well. So if you're consuming meat, you're consuming lots of fat, you're eating eggs, you're eating organs, you're consuming bone broth, I think you should be fine. You should be getting plenty of micronutrients, plenty of minerals, plenty of vitamins. Like, you should have all your bases covered. But if you're just eating just like ground beef or just like lean cuts of steak, something like that, and you're not really eating a bunch of organs or eggs, and you're not really consuming a lot of minerals like in a bone broth, then I think it is possible that you could start developing some micronutrient deficiencies. But I think it's like, you just need to add some eggs, add some organs, and you're fine. You could even take desiccated organs. There's a lot of companies that sell that nowadays. So it's not that hard to kind of cover your bases with this.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. I think from like a nutrient density profile, meat is 100% the most nutrient-dense food on the planet. But like Tom said, if you don't formulate your diet correctly, you can still lead to some nutrition deficiencies at some point. But it's not that hard to fix it. And we'll have a podcast on this in the future, just on the whole nutrient profile of meat and why it is so nutrient dense. But yeah, add some fruit here or there, or just simply have like an egg every once in a while. It's not that hard to complete the whole profile and still cover all your bases on a carnivore diet. Like, it's not that hard.
Yeah, the one, like, mineral that you might still be deficient in, but that's because damn near everybody on the planet is deficient in it, is magnesium.
Yeah.
And so that is something that I think everybody should be supplementing with. I don't think it's true for just like, I think if you're a vegetarian, you should be supplementing with it. If you're on a standard American diet, you should be using a paleo, keto, carnivore, whatever diet you're following. Like, most likely you should be consuming magnesium.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that for sure.
Yeah. So of course this article talks about like the magical like components of fiber and how the lack of fiber in this diet is going to lead to constipation, which it does not. It will lead to a weakened immune system, which I do not understand, and it does not. And it also will impact your gut microbiome in a very negative way, because your gut microbiome needs fiber to live. So we've talked about this a million times in the past. Yes, your gut microbiome can live off of fiber. Like, there's a lot of bacteria that do consume fiber. But if you're eating a carnivore diet, you're also consuming a lot of protein. And there's a lot of bacteria that can consume amino acids. So you're just feeding your gut microbiome amino acids instead of fiber.
Yeah, fiber is such an overhyped kind of, I'll put nutrients in quotes, because it's actually the exact opposite of a nutrient, because your body doesn't absorb it. But your fiber is not essential. In my opinion, we talked about just earlier how lectins are harmful on the gut. Fiber can be harmful on the gut as well. You know, there's soluble fiber and insoluble fiber. And sometimes fiber, the insoluble type, can go through your GI tract like a bowling ball. And our GI tract, our small intestines, our large intestines, they're very sensitive. So any sort of impact that has through there, there's like a microvilli brush border. That's where all the absorption happens in our GI tract. I personally think a key part, like I said earlier, of any healthy diet is focusing on gut health. I think removing fiber is actually beneficial, and doesn't have to be forever. You know, you can have whatever. If you want to eat fruit, there's fiber in fruit. You want to eat some vegetables later on, you can get fiber in that sense as well. But for a short period of time, I think completely removing fiber also gives your gut a little bit of a break and allows it to heal even more. So cutting out lectins, cutting out anti-nutrients from the carnivore diet is beneficial to our gut. Also, cutting out fiber is beneficial to our gut, just to give our guts actually a chance to heal itself. And our body's amazing. It can heal from damn near anything if you give it time. But in today's world, we never give it time to heal. So I think it's actually one of the huge benefits of the carnivore diet to be zero fiber. And it's like Tom said, it's not 100% zero, because our guts, from the standpoint that gut bacteria can like live off other things, not just fiber. But being very, very low in fiber is a benefit, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And I hate the whole gut microbiome argument, like, anyway, because we know next to nothing about the gut microbiome. At this point, we know that it's important. And that's about as far as our knowledge goes. Like, we don't know what a healthy gut microbiome like looks like. Pretty much like, hey, if you're healthy, your gut microbiome is healthy. If you're unhealthy, then your gut microbiome is unhealthy. And that's just kind of like all we know. Like, we have a very, very elementary level of like understanding about our gut microbiome at this point.
Yep.
So I hate when people talk about the gut microbiome like they're an expert, because like, no, you're definitely not an expert. There are no experts in this field yet.
There's not. Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah. So I just never liked that argument. So like, then this article kind of goes on and talks about how carbs are not evil. And even hypercarnivores, something like a bear, or actually a hypercarnivore is something more like a lion, they'll eat some plants from time to time. And yeah, like I kind of agree with that. Like I said at the beginning of this podcast, I don't eat 100% meat. I'll eat berries and fruits and stuff like that from time to time, you know, seasonal. I think it's perfectly okay. So like, I'm not really arguing with the author there.
Yeah, me either. And I think even with my... like, my diet is always very meat-heavy, and that's always just because of the nutrient profile of meat. But if I want to put on weight, or if I want to kind of add carbohydrates to my diet, I do. White rice, I think, is perfectly fine. I think potatoes here and there are perfectly fine, especially if you're working out, especially if you're trying to kind of increase your performance in the gym. I don't think carbohydrates are the devil. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't think so either. One thing I've recently added back to my diet has been honey. And I've been noticing, like, my sleep scores have been, like, improving, my quality of sleep, my recovery and stuff like that. A lot of that data has, like, improved significantly since I've been eating more seasonal fruits and, like, honey. So I think it's perfectly fine, especially if you are more athletic, like you just said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one of the main points that this author points out is that there is no, there are no health benefits whatsoever, or there's no evidence to suggest that the carnivore diet provides any health benefits. The author does acknowledge that there are websites that have a lot of anecdotal evidence, but then says, like in the next sentence, there's no evidence to suggest that the carnivore diet has any health benefits. Like, I don't know how you can write those two sentences back to back. Like, if a lot of people are saying that they went on a carnivore diet and got all these health benefits, how are you going to say that there's no evidence? I mean, you're just saying all those people are lying or that their stories don't matter. I mean, I don't get that point.
Yeah, I don't get that either. And personally, I've seen a lot of people that have seen their health increase dramatically by actually reducing the amount of plants they eat and increasing the amount of animal just protein they eat. And I think that's enough evidence for me personally.
Yeah, and since I've been on this way of eating, I don't crave salad. I don't like ever look at, oh, hey, that Caesar salad looks really good, I want some of that, or hey, that plate of broccoli looks delicious, I need that. Like, I don't have those feelings. Like, I love what I eat, and I'm pretty happy with the way I feel. I've been eating, I guess, like an animal-based diet for, I think, 2.5 years now, maybe close to 3. I don't know, the whole COVID thing put time in, like, a...
Yeah, in a blender.
Like, I don't know where this last year went. But, yeah, like, I've been eating this way for quite a while now, and I don't think I'm ever going to go back.
No, I know I won't go back. Yeah. I mean, from my perspective, I always just try and eat optimally. That's just, I've never been a type of guy. I'm not like a foodie, quote unquote. Like, I don't go out looking for ice cream, cake, cookies. I don't even like to go out and have dinner with like friends, really. Tom can tell you that. Like, I don't care about those type of things. I'm just trying to eat to literally be as strong as I can possibly be.
Yeah. I mean, it's, well, one thing I don't like about going out to eat is like, okay, so I eat steak quite often, and then if I want to order steak from a restaurant, you know, it's generally quite expensive, like $40-$50, and most of the time it's not any better than I would make at home. So I just don't go out for steak. Like, if I'm gonna go out, I don't eat fish very often at home. So like, that's what I do, is I eat something that of course is going to be better there, because like, I don't make it at home. So salmon is like my go-to meal when I go out to eat.
Yeah,
just actually, so I don't have that disappointment.
Yeah, I actually think about that when I do go out and eat. I think about what you said there a lot, because it's the same thing. It's just not worth it. The steaks we make at home 90% of the time are going to taste better, and 100% of the time they're going to be cheaper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Not even close.
No.
All right. So then this article ends with carnivore diet side effects, and the short-term side effects are just, you know, stuff that's like associated with the keto flu. So headaches, nausea, fatigue, dizziness, that type of thing. Which, okay, yeah, you can have those side effects at first. But if you're adding like a lot of salt to your meals, like a lot of that stuff kind of goes away really quick. And the short-term side effects only last short-term. They last less than a week. Usually it's just a couple of days at the most. I don't even remember feeling any of these short-term side effects.
I didn't. The only side effects I really experienced were more like the GI issues. Basically, yeah, that happens, and that can take a week or two to kind of resolve itself. But even those are short term, and the short term side effects don't outweigh the long term benefits, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then one other thing that this article mentions, which I do agree with, but I think that their logic behind it is kind of like dumb, is people with heartburn. Like, people with heartburn, some of them take a PPI medication, a proton pump inhibitor, to stop acid production in the stomach. Well, if you are eating a carnivore diet and your stomach acid is very, very low, very weak, like, yeah, you're going to have a lot of digestion issues. But I don't think most people should be on a PPI anyway, because like the best cure for heartburn is to actually increase the amount of stomach acid, making your stomach acid stronger and not weaker. Because if you have stronger stomach acid, you will break down your food much, much faster, and you will empty your stomach. And that's a much better cure than weakening your digestion by like inhibiting the amount of stomach acid that your stomach's producing.
Well, yeah, but that key word you just said, cure, you know, traditional medicine nowadays, or at least Western medicine, is not about curing anything. It's about treating symptoms. And PPIs are good at as far as treating a symptom of heartburn, but they actually don't cure anything. They just mask it. So they treat the symptoms. But like Tom said, if you want to actually cure heartburn, you increase the amount of stomach acid, not decrease it. And yeah, if you're on a PPI and you eat, you know, 5 pounds of steak randomly, you're probably not going to feel that good. You know, it's probably going to feel like you have a brick in your stomach because your body's not going to be able to digest that protein. And then when that undigested protein hits your small intestines and large intestines, it's going to cause some GI issues. But that's not a fault of the carnivore diet. That's a fault of just piss poor healthcare and assigning people or giving people PPIs when they're never, I don't think anyone on earth should be given PPIs. I think everybody on earth should be given actually stomach acid, HCL pills to treat heartburn and cure the condition rather than just treat the symptoms.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more. I mean, one of the biggest side effects of a PPI is that they like inhibit nitric oxide production in your system. Man, I cannot talk right now.
That's okay.
But yeah, like the nitric oxide production is so important when it comes to your heart health, because that's what controls like if your arteries are going to constrict or dilate. So if you don't have like that nitric oxide production because you are on a PPI, like that is going to significantly decrease your heart health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's nothing good on PPIs. Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah. So that's kind of all that I want to talk about with this article. It just says it's a bunch of pseudoscience, which, I mean, that's not true. We've talked about tons of science and tons of studies that have been on this. And, yeah, the author pretty much just hates this diet.
Yeah, and I understand it, you know, because anybody from traditional, like, you know, dietitians, healthcare, they're going to hate the carnivore diet because it goes against the grain. But in my opinion, just, I mean, it's obvious. Just look. Everyone is overweight. Everyone is sick. 90% of people are unhappy. The current recommendations, the current narrative is not working. So I feel perfectly fine going against the grain and seeing great results with myself, seeing great results with people that I work with. And I don't know, I'm not going back. The carnivore diet, it doesn't have to be 100% meat. I understand this article points out that that's what strictly the carnivore diet is, but any diet that is, you know, 70, 80, 90% animal-based, I think everybody on earth would be healthier if their diet consisted of those kind of breakdowns, you know?
Yeah, and I don't understand why this author wrote, like, it's a pretty long paper, why they didn't actually try the diet and talk about their own experience with it. I mean, because that would have came across a lot more effective if, like, hey, they tried it, they were constipated, or they had headaches, they experienced the keto flu, they experienced all these like changes, they got like horrible blood biomarkers, something like that, I would get it. But this author clearly never even tried it, because she did not talk about any of her personal experience with it. So I mean, come on, like, if you're gonna try, it's not that hard to try a diet, you know, give it 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. It's not that much of an effort.
No, it's not.
So, yeah. That's one thing I just don't understand.
Yeah, no, I'm on board with that for sure. But yeah, I'm basically in summary, we are both very pro carnivore diet. Could not disagree with most of this article. But yeah, if you want to learn more, you can definitely go to the website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com. You can just search carnivore. And like Tom said, you will find hundreds of links at this point of various studies and even testimonials of people who have done the carnivore diet, who have seen a great increase in their health. So I'd recommend going there. The website is a great resource for a ton of information. And you can also find this article if you're interested. So just go to tntwellnessandnutrition.com. And if you have any questions, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.